This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, joining us now, as he does every Monday, is political commentator, author of the daily newsletter, So What?, independent news creator on Substack and YouTube, News Nation contributor, and former CNN and Washington Post reporter, and that would be Chris Saliza. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm so pumped after that intro.
We got your walk-up.
I am ready to go.
Excellent. Excellent. Are you a baseball fan, Chris?
A huge baseball fan.
That's
yes,
what I thought.
Our weekend was not as good as the Cardinals' weekend. The Nationals had they blew a 13 strikeout performance by Mackenzie Gore on opening day and lost because of their bullpen. They blew a lead on Saturday and lost to the stupid Phillies because of their bullpen. And then on Sunday, we got a great start and we won. So we are, and I say we because I am technically a member of the team.
Yeah.
We are 1-2. I know the Cardinals are 3-0. Cardinals are our second favorite team, obviously, probably my wife's first favorite team, but our second favorite team in the household. So we are watching the Cardinals, but 1-2, inauspicious beginning for our bullpen, which has been a problem for 5 years.
But on opening day, you did get Clydesdale, so that's not bad.
Yes, I mean, look, my kids have had something I never had as a kid, which is the Nationals won the World Series while they were young, and we got to go to a parade, and we've had Bryce Harper and Juan Soto and Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. Now, unfortunately, none of them are on our team anymore, and Trey Turner and Bryce Harper we have to face a zillion times every year because they're in the NL East with us, but they've gotten their... They've gotten more than I got as a young baseball fan. So I'm happy there. And I have to believe that the Nationals, after losing the most games of any team in Major League Baseball over the last 4 years, are turning a corner.
Well,
we can't get worse.
I hope so. It's such an interesting... Before we get to the news of the day here, which is why we have you on, I love the interesting wrinkle of the rivalry between the Nationals and the Orioles because they're about 40 minutes apart.
Yes.
And the ownerships hate each other. I was with the White Sox when the Freddie Gray riots happened. We came into town, and then they canceled the first two games of the series, and they played that final game with no fans in the building.
Yep.
That was 10 years ago, and the Orioles. I think the Nationals said, "Well, they could have come and played here, but the Orioles didn't even want to ask." So they just washed two games off the schedule, and they ended up losing home games because they hate the Nationals so much. It's so ridiculous.
Well, and honestly, that is better now than it used to be because that is all based on Peter Angelos, who used to own the Orioles, who has now sold to David Rubenstein, who is more of a... I think no one cares about this, but I'll briefly say there's been a contract, TV contract rights dispute between the Orioles and the Nationals since the Nationals came to Washington. It has finally been settled, so I'm really hoping we're moving beyond this. But yes, it is. It's weird to me because it's an NL team and an AL team. I mean, they're not. With the exception of the World Series, which the Nationals haven't been close to in a while, they're not competitive, in that way. But yes, it is absolutely a thing.
All right, Chris, speaking of things that might absolutely be a thing, Wednesday, this Wednesday, April 2nd, will
Liberation Day,
when Trump imposes reciprocal dollar-for-dollar tariffs on any nation that dares to levy duties on U.S. goods. So, Chris, practically speaking, what do we know about this and what this will look like?
You know, it's amazing, Amy. We don't know as much as you might think, given the fact that it's, you know, I mean, this is something Donald Trump has been touting for a long time. You know, he had some of his trade folks on Capitol Hill last week trying to brief Republican senators and members of Congress, and there were not a lot of details given at that point. So we know what he – let me start here. What he has said is that he is going to impose a tariff on any country, a reciprocal, so the exact same level percent tariff on the same goods that any country has a tariff on U.S. goods. Now, that would be much more broad scale than what we've seen in the past, right? What we've seen so far in the administration is China, Canada, and Mexico, the U.S.'s biggest trading partners. But this would include that Brazil, India, the U.K., you know, this would be a much broader thing. And I will tell you, look, we three have talked about this. It is not as though the economic uncertainties created by tariffs and the on-again, off-again nature of how Donald Trump has used them thus far, it's not as though it hasn't had an impact. The stock market is way down. His handling, I saw an Associated Press poll this morning that has his handling, his approval of on handling the economy at 40% and his disapproval at 58%. There is already an impact here, and I guarantee whatever he rolls out, unless he says, oh, you know what, I've rethought it, we're not going to do this, it's just going to add to that uncertainty. It's going to add to inflation concerns. It's going to add to recession concerns. And, you know, I mean, it is a remarkable thing because he is driving the political prospects of his party into a bit of a ditch here, because he believes that tariffs are the right way to go in the long term. But, it, you know, I mean, it's a big gamble, and it's only going to get bigger this Wednesday.
He has support from people who, it seems like some people anyway, it's not everybody, but there is a significant portion of the country that no matter what will, whatever he wants to do, they're on board. It does not matter what it is. And it's sort of evidenced when you say there's 40% who love the way he's handling the economy. Right now, the Goldman Sachs, actually it was yesterday, Goldman Sachs had raised their forecast of a recession to 35% chance that it happens in the next 12 months. It was 20% before all of this. How much political capital does he have realistically if the economy really does tank?
So, you know, Chris, I think the real question is, like, is how big is the group of people who are going to be with him no matter what? Right. Is it 43% of the country? Is it 35% of the country? Is it 30% of the country? Yeah, there is some level of people who are going to be with him, because what he will say is, well, this is just Biden's economy. And they will believe that. Right. Because they will believe whatever he says. The question is how big it is. Right. If it's 30%, that's going to be a problem for him. Right. Because that means there's 70% because of math. There's 70%. Of people who are like, this is not great. And remember, Donald Trump won the 2024 election. There's a lot of factors that go into this, but the number I always cite to people is there were four issues asked on the exit poll. You know, which issue is most important to you? The economy, not surprisingly, was number one. One in three people said the economy is the most important issue to me. Of that group, Donald Trump won 69% to Kamala Harris's 29%. So it is not overly simplistic to say he won because people thought he would make the economy better for them. If he is not doing that, or he's making the economy worse for them, it becomes a huge problem, not really for Donald Trump, because, and I always say, I think he's not running for a third term in 2028, but for his party, which is up in 2026. I know that feels like a long way from now, But if the economy is perceived to be doing poorly, if people feel like Donald Trump has not done what he said he would do, it's going to be a huge problem for Republicans in the midterms. And I don't know how focused he is on that and how much he's focused on sort of his four-year term and what he leaves. But I will tell you, lots of Republicans I talk to are very concerned about that.
Yeah, I just the amount of memory holing that you have to do, because, again, you know, this climate liberation day, the trade agreements are so unfair. He negotiated the trade agreement. He's the one that replaced NAFTA with the USMCA. And I.
Yep.
And it blows my mind. None of this makes any sense. I know we got to move on, Chris, but I do want to ask about the whole signal gate with Pete Hegseth and so forth.
Yep.
We know about the bombing the Houthis. Is there going to be any investigation into what happened? And do you think anybody's jobs are at risk?
So on the investigation front, there's two that we know about. One is being run by Elon Musk. I will tell you, I'm not optimistic that's going to find a lot of blame, even though I think there is blame to be found. The other one that I believe will happen, but I say believe, I'm not sure. Roger Wicker, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, a Republican from Mississippi, has said he wants that an inspector general, you know, sort of the watchdog of that organization, to open an investigation to figure this out. Remember, there, of course, if Democrats controlled either the House or the Senate, they don't. But if they did, of course, we would have already had an investigation launched in Congress on this. But Republicans do. So I think there will be an inspector general investigation. How long it will take, what it will find, when will we see the results, will we see all the results? Those are all things I think we'll get something. Will we get something that really gets us to the bottom of it? I'm more skeptical. On the will someone lose their job front, if you're ranking people most likely to lose their job from this, Mike Waltz, the national security advisor who added Jeff Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, is your number one seed. Pete Hegseth is your number two seed. I'm not sure there are any other seeds. I think both of them are going to be okay for now. I will say Waltz has put himself on very shaky ground, right? If there's something else that comes out, if there's something unrelated that comes out, I think he's probably gone. But, you know, Amy, I think we have to keep returning back to what's normal or what was normal before. In a situation like this in the past, Republican administration, Democratic administration, someone at a high level would have been dismissed. Donald Trump does not want to do that because in his mind, he views doing that as giving Jeff Goldberg, the journalist who he doesn't like, a win. So he's not going to do that unless he absolutely has to. But this is absolutely a break from our norms.
Yeah, and I'll just say, like, it's frustrating because here's the thing. With Hillary Clinton's emails, that was wrong. It was careless. It was compromising. I think you can objectively look and say she should not have done that.
Agree.
They should not have done this. You can't.
Absolutely not.
You can't be so hypocritical that you would look at Hillary Clinton's emails, which were wrong. I'm not justifying it. That was wrong. The private server. So were these Signal messages, which were going to disappear. I mean, it broke so many standards.
And that's the frustration I always get into with people who are super partisan. It's like you can't say one was a really big deal that disqualified her as a potential presidential candidate, and this one doesn't matter at all just because you wear the team's hat that has this one on it. You know what I mean? It's. I'll just give you, I'm not doing apples to apples, but I'll give you an example. If, let's say, there was a Republican president for the last 4 years, and he was old. This is easy to imagine because Donald Trump is old, but he was old, and there were concerns about his age and competence. And his aides all insisted he was great and amazing, and he had so much energy, and how dare you ask that about him being old. And then we saw in a debate that he was old, and there had been concerns about his age and competence internally, and they had kind of hidden him. Well, that would be a gigantic deal. So did my Democratic friends who are like, move on, no one cares about Joe Biden anymore. I'm like, if Donald Trump wasn't president anymore and he had been shown to potentially have age and competence issues that had been hidden, I guarantee you would want to know more about that. And so that's what's frustrating to me as a journalist. It's like, let's just be intellectually honest about things and intellectually fair about things. If it's good for the goose, it has to be good for the gander. And I feel like a lot of people don't feel that way.
You mentioned the third term and the age plays into this. He was asked about it by NBC over the weekend, and his quote was, a lot of people want me to do it. I'm not joking. So, yep. And you've got people like Steve Bannon, and there was somebody in Congress who had maybe put forward a bill that would allow
Ogles from Tennessee.
Ogles, that's who it was, who it would give him a third term. So how realistic is all of this nonsense?
Well, I mean, it's not realistic, like, based on the Constitution. I mean, this is what's really hard. What I always say to people about this is, look, the 22nd Amendment is extremely clear. You can be elected for two terms as president, the end. Right. I would urge the 22nd Amendment's not that long. I would urge people, go read it. It's not complicated. The issue is it's Donald Trump we're talking about here. And what I always say when people ask me about a third term from Donald Trump is he is constitutionally barred from doing so. He absolutely wants one. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, question mark. You know, I mean, look, there are three ways that this could happen. Way one, J.D. Vance, I can't imagine any of these things happening, but I'm going to say it. Way one. J.D. Vance, the current vice president, runs for president in 2028 with the express understanding that Donald Trump will be his VP and he will basically be the de facto president. Option two, Donald Trump ignores the 22nd Amendment. The Supreme Court says, you know what? No big deal. He can ignore it. He remains as president. Option three, Donald Trump ignores the 22nd Amendment. The Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. And Donald Trump ignores the Supreme Court. Options two and three that I just laid out are like fundamentally undemocratic. Option three is pretty close to the line of undemocratic. With options two and three, the Constitution is kind of rendered meaningless. And at that point, we're either marching toward authoritarianism or we're at authoritarianism. So like, I don't want to say no. I just want people to read the 22nd Amendment. For him to remain in office beyond two terms, it would almost certainly take either ignoring that by the Supreme Court or Donald Trump ignoring a Supreme Court decision affirming the 22nd Amendment. You know, I'm not ready to say that's impossible, but it's a very high bar.
The daily newsletter is called So What? It's now got 30,000 subscribers and continues to grow. It's got a Substack, YouTube, contributes for News Nation. You've seen him on CNN and read him in the Washington Post. Chris Cillizza with us every Monday. We appreciate your time, Chris, and good luck to your Nationals.
Thank you, and thank you guys for the final countdown. That ensures I'll be back next week.
Perfect. Yes. That's the,
all
that's
right, guys.
The
take care.
Great form of payment is the song you request. Thank you, Chris. It